Let's talk about the race to become Brazil's next president. It's a contest that really comes down to just two men, the current president, Jair Bolsonaro.
Okay.
He is seen as the Trump of the tropics.
And former president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva.
Olé, 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 olá. Lula, Lula.
He is both the most loved and the most hated politician in Brazil, maybe seconded by Jair Bolsonaro.
Lula's ahead in the polls, and the big question is whether he can win outright in the first round. He'll need more than 50% of votes to do that, or it'll go to a second round runoff.
Aqui.
And if Bolsonaro loses, it doesn't look like he'll go quietly.
Não é uma luta da esquerda contra a direita. É uma luta do bem contra o mal. E nós vamos vencer essa luta.
He's already been talking about election fraud.
Bolsonaro has challenged the very validity of the electoral process. He keeps flirting with a coup. Sometimes he says it explicitly, sometimes he just hints at it.
So who are these two rivals? And why are Brazilians so divided over them? In some ways, Bolsonaro and Lula represent a right versus left-wing rivalry. But there's also so much more going on. And a good place to start is the early 2000s. Lula became president in 2003 and served two terms until 2010. He was a former union leader and Brazil's first working-class president. It was a time when the economy was booming, and for a lot of Brazilians, life got better.
There was the commodities super cycle that made a lot of dollars come to Brazil. His administration also did a lot of measures to protect low-income families.
Lula left office with an 83% approval rating. The next president, Dilma Rousseff, was from the same Workers' Party, the PT, and was seen as Lula's handpicked successor.
President Rousseff, Dilma Rousseff, was enjoying pretty high approval rates at the time. And all of a sudden, Brazil went into this long turmoil. And one of the big questions that many people ask is, what happened to Brazil after 2013?
Well, a couple of big things happened. First, the economy turned. There was a recession, people were losing their jobs, and prices were going up. And then there was Operation Car Wash, what became a huge corruption investigation that went on for years. It basically uncovered a multi-billion dollar money laundering and bribery scheme linked to the state-run oil company Petrobras.
They revealed during the car wash operation that there was an involvement of pretty much every single major political party in Brazil with corruption scandals.
That included Lula himself. In 2017, he was convicted of money laundering and corruption and ended up with a 12-year prison sentence, although he was released after about 18 months. Lula maintained he'd done nothing wrong and that all the charges were politically motivated. And by the way, the Supreme Court later annulled his convictions. So let's look at the last presidential election in 2018. It was a really messy time in Brazil. The economy was recovering from a deep recession, the corruption scandal was going strong, and violent crime was on the rise. And that's where Jair Bolsonaro comes in. He's a former army captain who became a member of Congress in 1990. He wasn't really a political heavyweight, but he got a lot of attention for making statements like this.
Eu sou favorável à tortura, tu sabe disso. E o povo é favorável a isso também.
Maria do Rosário, fica! Há poucos dias tu me chamou de estuprador no Salão Verde e eu falei que não estuprar você porque você não merece. Fica aqui pra ouvir!
Eu quero uma polícia civil e militar que, em defesa do povo, atire para matar!
Now he ran for president in 2018 on a platform all about making Brazil great again. He was up against Lula, who was campaigning from jail, until he was barred at the last minute. And Bolsonaro won.
Bolsonaro seemed to be, as early as 2016 or 17, the man who embodied all the frustration and all the bad blood that was going around Brazil at the time. And his platform was music to many people's ears at that point. So he would say that he was an anti-system candidate. He was fighting corruption.
He has mastered political communication on social media like no one else in Brazil, especially no one on the left. And he has successfully shaped a lot of conversations in the country. That what allowed him to go from backbencher to a competitive presidential candidate to being the president.
Now, some Brazilians look back at the last 4 years of Bolsonaro as president and see disaster. Many blame him for not taking COVID seriously. More than 680,000 Brazilians died, the second highest death toll in the world. Then there's his environmental record. Deforestation has accelerated under Bolsonaro, and he's rejected the idea that Brazil has any special role to play in the fight against climate change.
É uma falácia dizer que a Amazônia é patrimônio da humanidade e um equívoco, como atestam os cientistas, afirmar que a Amazônia, a nossa floresta, é o pulmão do mundo.
And then there's the accusation that Bolsonaro has deliberately weakened state institutions.
Bolsonaro has moved very quickly ever since the very beginning of his tenure to undermine and to hollow out political institutions and bureaucracies, especially those who might put obstacles or limits to the actions of some private interest groups that have supported Bolsonaro from day one.
But a lot of Brazilians really like what Bolsonaro stands for. He's seen as more supportive of the private sector, and he's got a lot of support among people with more conservative social values.
Deus, pátria, família e liberdade. Brasil acima de tudo. Deus acima de tudo.
He projects himself as a man of faith, of Christian values, who wants a traditional family, who's against abortion. Those that vote for Bolsonaro, they don't want people to be talking about gender identity in school. They don't want abortion, definitely. They don't want drugs to be legalized. They'd rather not have gay rights. These people, there are people that believe in this agenda.
So in this election, with Bolsonaro up against Lula, you've got this epic political showdown. Both of them are huge personalities, both are controversial in their own way, and both of them inspire love and hate from different parts of society. But putting the political theater aside for a moment, the big issue for most Brazilian voters is the economy, because a lot of people are struggling right now. More than half the population is food insecure, even though Brazil is one of the world's biggest food producers. And prices are going up for food and fuel, just like in many other countries.
Nós sofremos, meu filho, não é brincadeira não. Elas vai pra rua, arruma lá, pede, os amigos ajudam, tudo, tô dizendo a você.
Tem mês que aperta mais, né? Tem mês que aperta, mas tem a semana que melhora mais e outras é mais fraca e assim vai.
Economic conditions in Brazil have been extremely challenging, especially for lower income voters, who are the majority of the Brazilian population. So that's why the economy is the number one, number two, and number three priority for voters.
So both candidates are trying to convince voters that they're the man to deliver on the economy. Bolsonaro has been pointing out that inflation and unemployment have gone down, and in July he got Congress to approve $7.6 billion in emergency aid. That includes a 50% increase in monthly cash payments for Brazil's poorest until the end of the year. As for Lula, he's been pushing the message that the economy was much better back when he was president.
O país que eu deixei é um país que o povo tem saudade. É o país do emprego, é o país em que o povo tinha o direito de viver dignamente, de cabeça erguida nesse país. E esse país vai voltar.
He's able to tap into people's perception that their lives were better back in 2010. And the fact that is that it was better. People's lives were definitely better.
Se ele entrar, vai ser beleza. Aí a gente vai poder voltar a comer carne. Agora com o Bolsonaro, a gente vai voltar a comer pé de frango.
Lula has basically run on the platform, I know how to do stuff, I have done in the past, and I'm not Bolsonaro.
But that works the other way around too, with some people supporting Bolsonaro just because he's not Lula.
There are people who vote for Bolsonaro because they hate Lula. These are people that are furious at the corruption scandals, and they feel that they're now having to pick between a crazy guy and a robber. It's like, which one would I rather have?
All of this is creating a really tense election atmosphere. There's even been violence. Two Lula supporters have been killed by Bolsonaro supporters, and Bolsonaro doesn't seem to be doing much to calm things down. He's been questioning the voting machines and setting up the idea that there could be fraud.
He's trying to sow distrust in the country's electronic voting system, which in almost 30 years has never faced one single credible fraud allegation. And Bolsonaro has swamped the Brazilian public discourse with vitriol. He has portrayed this electoral race as a battle between good and evil.
So there's a lot of nervousness in Brazil about the state of the country right now and where this election could take things.
What I feel about this election is like there's no hope for the future. It's more of an election like, let's avoid falling into a hole. So people are clinging on to what they think will be less worse and not something that will be better.
Sometimes I have the feeling that we have two separate and very different Brazils that no longer talk to each other.
Start Here breaks down the big news stories, and you can watch more of our episodes on Al Jazeera's YouTube channel, like this one, about what's going on in Afghanistan 1 year after the Taliban took over.